Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. This is our last Sunday on teaching. We thought we'd take the month of April and do times of refreshing and focus on it. And of course, the first week we learned the doctrinal placement of that passage. And when it's amazing, I think as a Bible believer, you should know the context of what you're reading and the doctrinal. Well, what we did was we studied it doctrinally, and the times of refreshing are going to happen when Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom and he will restore the earth. Okay, it'll have been through a horrible judgment time. Death will be on a magnitude nobody has seen in the tribulation period. So Jesus is going to have a time of refreshing when he returns. So we know doctrinally what it's talking about. Then we've taken devotional truth. And there's nothing wrong with you opening your Bible. I think you need to have a system when you read your Bible. Can you just open it up anywhere and start reading it? Sure. But it would really help. Normally people that do that don't read it for long because they get lost, right? And it gets frustrating. I think you ought to have a way of working through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you say, out of the two, what's more important? I would say the New Testament. You say, well, it's all important. I know. But you do know we have more in salvation than the Jews did in the Old Testament. They weren't born again. We get to be rebirthed, right? They didn't have an indwelling Holy Spirit. We have an indwelling Holy Spirit. Watch this. This morning, I'm going to cover it in the sermon. They didn't get to carry a Bible. Nobody touched a Bible in the Old Testament. You heard the Bible. You sung the Bible. You memorized the Bible. But nobody read the Bible. You understand? It was read to them. That's one day a week, right? On the Sabbath day. Now we get to take our Bibles home, right? So that's why I say in the New Testament, you know, when I got saved, the Old Testament was so intimidating to me. And I knew about Psalms being a devotional book, and I knew Proverbs was a book of wisdom. But boy, the books of Kings and Exodus and the prophets, it all intimidated me. And for the first year, I only read out of the New Testament. You say, well, you should be reading the whole Bible. I know, but you got to start somewhere, right? So I think the most important part for you to dive into, if you're going to dive into, is start then at the New Testament. But there's nothing wrong with you opening your Bible and reading and then letting God speak to your heart. Can God do that? Yes. Without you knowing what the book's to, what time frame you're dealing with, who's the context, can God speak to your heart when you read his word? The answer is yes, and that's the way God speaks to you and me, right? Is through his word. God leads us and directs us through his word. And if you're not reading the Bible, God can't direct you, okay? So devotional truth, okay, is where you take a topic and you look it up. And that's devotional truth. Doctrinal, now, when we covered this, there's a lot of material up there doctrinally. And to wrap your head around it, I wanted to introduce you to it. And we just skimmed the surface. That's okay. Then we spend the rest of the month of April looking at things devotionally. So we took the title, the word forgiveness, and we thought, how refreshing is God's forgiveness and understanding it. And we topically studied that. Then, last week, we took thankfulness and how important it is to, how refreshing it is to be a thankful person instead of a complainer, right? And if you're, we learned last week, if you're thankful, it's because you make yourself be thankful. If you don't work at it, we're natural complainers and gripers, okay? We're natural fault finders. So we have to work at our thankfulness, and it's refreshing when you do so. This week, I want to look at how refreshing the Word of God is, and we might get into, just read the verse here. Here's our text verse. We know it's talking about Israel, but watch this, Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. that your when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So that's when Jesus returns. That's talking to Israel. Great, we understand that. But let's look at how refreshing the Word of God is this morning. Take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians, go over about three or four books there. You're in Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And out of all the things that God gives us, your Bible, you learn something in the Christian life. You grow according to the Word of God. You grow spirit. That book is everything. Nobody makes too much of it, right? God's magnified it above His name. Well, no, none of us magnify God's Word too much, but everything in the Christian life centers around the Bible. And that old statement, it's not in the Bible, but it's a true statement. What you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. And how much God can use you is determined by how much you use the Bible. Amen. And so Ephesians 5, with refreshment, Ephesians 5, look at verse 26. I'm going to start reading at verse 25, but verse 26 is what I want you to see. Watch this. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. You'll never find anything in the Quran that tells a husband to treat his wife that way. Only in the Bible, God's Word, God came up with marriage, and God tells the husband, I want you to love your wife as much as I loved you and died for you. Of course, Ephesians 5 is that wonderful marriage chapter, and it gives a lot of instruction. Watch this. Verse 26, that he might sanctify or set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. So how does God wash us? When you read the Bible, it puts truth in your mind. And have you heard of brainwashing? Okay. I know we use it in a negative context, but there is Christian brainwashing. And you say, oh, nobody should. Well, wait a second. Have you heard how people listen to their rock music? Over and over and over. That's brainwashing. The same thought is put over and over in their mind. And when you get saved, you need some of that trash washed out, right? How do you do it? By the refreshment of God's Word. That's why it's a beautiful truth. You reading your Bible does more in your life than you see. Somebody said, well, I'm not getting anything out of it. But it's washing your mind. It's putting God's thoughts in your mind where the world used to. Movies and Hollywood and music and culture is saying you to be a success, you have to do this and you have to be this and you have to have this. And you finally read your Bible and it's like, wow, to be a success in God's eyes. Right? It washes your mind. So once you get saved, you get cleaner, your mind does, as you put God's thoughts in it. And it washes you with what? With the Word. And it's supposed to be, I thought that was refreshing. Go to Psalm 119. Right in the middle of your Bible, go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You know, as a pastor, I want to preach the whole counsel of God. There's not parts of the Bible I steer away from. I want to preach the whole Bible. Amen. I want to preach the whole counsel, show you how it's rightly divided, show you how to study. But for you to grow, you'll notice something. Everybody needs help with something, right? All of us are at different levels, and all of us need strength put at certain points. Why am I saying that? You'll notice the people who grow the fastest are those who hunger for the Bible. And even though they don't know a whole lot, they're willing to learn and they want it and they hunger for it. And it's like the more they read, the more they grow, and the more God can do in their life. And it's just because there's something, That book is eternal. That book is supernatural that you have in your hands. Amen. It's God's book. Here we go. Look at Psalm 119, verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. You know, to wrap your head around what God just told us, the word pure means no admixture. Right? So that means it's one thing. If you have a King James Bible, if you have another Bible, it's been played with. You've got words that have been taken out, and you've got words that have been put in. But if you have a King James Bible, you have the pure words of God, which means there's no words of man there. That's a wonderful thought. That's why it's so refreshing. That book is the only source of truth on this earth. Let God be true and every man a liar. Right? When you read that book, it's the only thing that you know 100% is going to happen. Amen? And there's supposed to be a refreshment there, especially. I'm so amazed, you know, here, let's take a rabbit trail and I'll come back. I'm so amazed to find out what's going on in the world. I was raised in the days of 3 TV channels, right? And 4 with PBS. Remember the one that went, right? You know, the one you could only get on Saturday or something like that. I was raised in the day of 3 TV channels. And I remember that in the 70s. And I remember Walter Cronkite. I didn't know he was a card-carrying communist. Walter Cronkite was an evil man, but he was probably the world's best-known broadcaster. Then you had Dan Rather and all those names that if you're young, you don't know. But I think everybody in here has heard them. I grew up trusting the system. And I'm so amazed now at how many lies are told. And you have to, and now my wife and I, we find ourselves going to independent news sources and just trying to read the headlines to figure out what's going on. And somewhere, you know, ABC, NBC, and CBS and all that stuff, MSNBC and CNN and Communist News Network and all that, you know they're wrong. But I've just never seen a day where you have to filter through so much to, okay, you know, they want us to think Russia's losing. Russia is slaughtering Ukraine. The Ukrainian men, we looked it up at the campsite. Ukraine is 34 million people. Russia is 140 million. No, Russia's not losing. There's been 600,000 Ukrainians killed in the war. They are slaughtering them. But our media wants you to think we need to get behind Ukraine. Ukraine cannot win that war. they were never able to win that war. And it's just good. You talk to the military guys. I said that to say there's what we're told, and then there's what's actually going on. When I put all that together, and I'm able to listen, push it aside, and come to my Bible and read God's Word, I know what I'm reading. It does not have to be filtered or figured out. All I got to do is believe it. Amen? Because thy Word is very pure. Here, beautiful verse. That's Psalm 140, 119, 140. Go to Proverbs 30 and look at verse. Just turn over one book to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Here it is again. I'm getting more and more amazed. Some of you think I know how to work a computer, okay? But I had to do it out of survival. And my dad is a computer interfacer. He knows 8 computer languages and blah, blah, blah. And I grew up watching my dad in the 70s link computers together and reading it. And he had to collect data is what he did for medical hospitals. And I hated computers. I mean, like, hate them, okay? My dad was always on it. That's the day when you used to take the phone off the wall and put it on the thing, and then it'd talk to the thing and all that stuff. When I got saved, somebody showed me a computer program that had the Bible and how you could put the Bible in your sermons. And it changed my life. Because before, do you know how I used to do my sermons? I'd go to the lost and found, don't tell anybody. I'd go to the lost and found at the church, and I'd take about 5 or 6 King James Bibles at home. And so I could cover the verses real quick. I would cut the verses out of the Bible and put them in my sermon. Right? You know, they were kids' Bibles. Come on now. And so, well, that's I was trying to do it fast and cover a lot of scripture. But when somebody showed me how to put the Bible on paper and hit print, it changed my life. I said that to say I'm comfortable with computers now because I had to learn them. But I'm getting amazed at how much computers can manipulate society. And we're getting into that age now. A week and a half ago, Israel attacked Gaza with AI-controlled drones. And it was the first time robots, computers, made the death call. Kill them or save them. And the people that those drones took out, now I'm not for Hamas, and I think the Palestinians are evil people, and okay, blah, 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 whatever side you're on, it doesn't matter. For the first time in history, man didn't make the call. And to watch those people evaporate, I mean, those drones would send missiles, people running, you know, for cover, and they're all watching it. That happened for the first time. Robots killing people. I think we're entering a unique time, okay? Which means what? My Bible is precious. My Bible is the source of truth. Amen? Everything else is generated or fake or it's getting worse. Here we go. Ready? Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. That's why when you read your Bible, you're not supposed to read it like a novel. You're not supposed to read it like a newspaper. And I hope this sticks with you. The way God intended us to read His Word is read it and think about it. Read it and think about it. Why did God, every word is pure. Why did God put that word there? Why did God use that word? Well, that's Elizabethan English from the 1600s, from 1611, when the King James. Why did God use that word? And if you don't know the definition of the word that you're reading, look it up. Right? Every word. It's the only book we read that way. We don't read Black Beauty that way. You know, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, whatever it is. We don't read novels or newspapers that way. But when you read your Bible, you're supposed to read it and think, what is God saying to me? Because every word is pure. Here's the thing. That concept that I'm trying to, we'll move on here in just a second. That concept is what changes your life in the Christian realm. When you allow God's word to speak to you as if God's talking. It is God's word, right? Or is it historical and oral tradition and stories of the Jews that we're supposed to, you see what I mean? Or do you view that as God's word? Every word is pure. And let's just take it one step closer. Go down to, look at verse 7. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. There's two words that are in italics in that verse, in verse 7. What are they? Things, right? And them. What does an italicized word in your King James Bible mean? It means it was added by the translators in 1611 when they went from Hebrew Old Testament to English. Right? That's why the King James Bible is called an honest translation, because they show you the words that were added. So here we go. This is where it all comes down to it. When you're reading your Bible and you read Two things, verse 7, have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Is the word things that's italicized, that was added by the translators, just as much a part of the Word of God as the first word, two? The answer is yes. But the way they try to intimidate you is they say, see, when that Bible was translated, they had to add words to it. Every word is pure. All of them are, if you have a King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, you've got something people have played with. You have one of Satan's chew toys. Amen? That's why how you view your Bible when you read it determines what you get out of it. It has to be God speaking to you. God teach me. God show me. God guide me. God help me as I read His Word. And letting God speak to every word. Every word. Here we go. Go to 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23. All the way in the New Testament, back near Revelation. Once you see Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the refreshment of the Word of God. There's no book like it. It's amazing. Reading your Bible is the only thing you can do that puts life in you. It's the only source of life on earth. Everything else takes from you. Okay? The Word of God is the only thing you can read that puts life in you. That's why to have it playing in your house, to have it playing in your car, to have it playing on your phone, to have it's supposed to be a major part of our life. Amen? So what? So God can guide us and direct us and help us. Amen? But here we go. Let me tell you a pastor's nightmare. Ready? Person gets a new Bible, and they leave it at church, so it's always there. Okay, have you ever followed that through? You mean you only read your Bible on Sunday? Good grief, take it home. Now, don't leave it in your car. Amen? Or you'll cook it. But my goodness, you want the Bible every day, right? Okay, look at 1 Peter 1:23. Ready? Being born again. That's the same word for saved. That's the same word for regenerated. But being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. So what is it that born you again? What is it that saved you? God's Word. When you believed that it was God speaking to you that you're a sinner and on your way to hell and you need Jesus because He died for you and rose again, that is what saved you. God's Word is what saved you. Being born again by the Word of God. What a beautiful verse. Watch this. Which liveth and abideth forever. It'll always be. Watch this. Verse 24. For all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Verse 25, here it is again. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection, is preached unto you. Two times, verse 23 and verse 25, God says, that book is what saved you. Do you know why? Because seven times in the New Testament, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, capital W, Word. And the Word, capital W, Word, was God. Seven times in the New Testament, the Word of God, Jesus is called the Word. He's the living Word. If you have a King James Bible, you have the written Word. So what was Jesus? He was that book with flesh on it. He was that book incarnate, right? Become flesh, human. That's why to say that book, if you have a King James Bible, is what borned you again. And it's amazing. That book is what, here we go, that book should be precious to you because it's what saved you. Amen? That's why, now go back one book. You're in 1 Peter, look at Look at James chapter 1. Ready? Now, verse 21 is what I want you to see, but verse 18 is where we're going to start reading. James chapter 1, look at verse 18. Of his own will begat. You know what the word begat means, right? It means born. So of his own will, he born us again. Same thing here. Ready? With the word of truth. There it is again. You were born of the Bible. James 1:18. James chapter 1, verse 18. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, whereby, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Here we go, verse 21. Watch closely. Wherefore, because of that, lay apart all filthiness, that means moral corruption, right? And superfluity of naughtiness. What's superfluity? That's an overabundance. An overabundance of naughtiness. In other words, if you, well, finish the verse. Ready? Watch this. Verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and what? Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, what did God save when he saved you? You're a body, a soul, and a spirit. So what did God save? He didn't save your body. He didn't save your soul. He saved your spirit, right? But if you want your soul or your personality saved, what's that mean? Rescued, saved, salvaged, made of more value. If you want your personality or you more valuable, you have to receive this book. Now, it's an interesting verse. Think with me just for a second. For you to get anything out of reading your Bible, you have to clean up your life. You can't put on earbuds and listen to rock music and read your Bible and get anything out of it. You've got to clean up your music. You say, how do you know? I tried. When I got saved, I had that's what caused me to change my music. I could not read my Bible and listen to my old music at the same time. I said, so that music stops me from learning the Bible, so that music must be bad. So I got rid of it. Pitched it all. You cannot be looking at pornography on the internet and get anything out of your Bible. It won't work. You have to clean. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Because that book saved you, verse 18, were begat of the word of truth. If you want that book to save your soul, your personality, clean up your life so God can help you receive it, right? That's how come people can come to church, they can read their Bible, they think, oh, but how come their life doesn't change? Normally, it comes down to entertainment and music. Normally. I said Wednesday night, the longest term damage you did in your life after you got saved, same here, the worst thing you did in your Christian life was let the TV in your home. Because you're not going to watch it 10, 20, 30 hours a week and come to church and hear it for 2 hours and then experience a change. It won't happen. It won't. I'm just telling you, it won't happen. Somebody said, you know, somebody asked me last week, and if you know who it is, don't. But somebody asked the question, Pastor, could we start church at 5 o'clock? That'd be awesome. If we started church at 5 o'clock on Sunday, we could finish by 6:30. And then I said, go home and watch more TV. Well, no, we'd stay here and fellow. I said, I hope we would, but probably not. So you can go home and have an hour of Bible study and pray and stuff. The worst part about, I think the worst damage of the TV is when people come to church and then when they go home, click, there's no meditation on what was taught. There's no meditation is what drives truth deep in your life. Your ability to shut things off and focus on the Bible and let God speak to your heart, that does not I will give you truth in church, but what you do in your quiet time determines the depth of your Christian life. Does that make sense? Do you know how many people don't have a quiet time? That's how come they're pushing yoga and meditation. It is healthy to have a time where you shut the world off, shut your phone off, shut the TV off, and just quiet down. But most people don't do that, so they push yoga, which is what? Hinduism. What is meditation and yoga? It's preparation for death. Do all the study you want. I'm amazed that they can push yoga with, you know, separation of church and state and all that garbage. I said that to say your Christian life comes when you can shut everything off and focus on God. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. That book is refreshing if you take time for it, right? But everything on the TV and everything in the media, everything on the phone, it just pushes against it. It's like, no, I'm more important. I'm more important. And you'll learn something in the Christian life. God, the most important person of your life, never begs for your time. God never whines, how come you don't spend time with Him? God does this. When you're done playing, I'm right here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You may not enjoy me, but I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when you're done with your entertainment and the way you want to live life, when you need me, I'm right here. But God doesn't go, how come you never read my word? How come you never talk to me? God doesn't whine. He just watches us make bad choices. Amen? And the most important things in your life, never ask for your time. The least important things go, hey, what about me? You forgot me. When are you going to, hey, do me now. Check your text now. Check your phone. Isn't that amazing? The least important thing. Okay, got it. James chapter 1, verse 21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. One more thought. Ready? Jesus saved your spirit when you trusted Him as your Savior. Now that you're saved, He wants to save your soul. That's a lifelong journey. Changing your personality, our manipulative habits, our pragmatism, our scheming, our I can figure it out. Learning to trust God as a Christian is what God wants to grow. Amen? But that only happens as you receive His Word. Watch this. Here we go. John 17:17. All I did this morning was I took the Word of God and I approached it from one angle. How refreshing should the Word of God be to us? And it ought to be one of the most refreshing things in our lives. Amen? It should be. Is it? No, but how can it be? It's willing to be. Watch this. John 17:17. Sanctify them or set them apart through thy truth. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. So what is it that helps you become more godly? The Bible, God's word. Go to John 15. Turn back over two chapters. Look at John chapter 15, verse 3. It could have looked at this with Ephesians 5. Ready? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Once again, it's that book that washes you. Washes your mind. We're going to do something unusual this morning in church. And I'm not going to tell you all that we're going to do, but I've never done a church service like we're getting ready to do it. We're not going to do weird stuff. We're just going to do something that we're going to do something I've always, and I'm going to tell you why. I'll lay the foundation for it, but it will be an unusual sermon this morning. Okay, so pray for me. Amen. But I want you to leave church thinking about your Bible. Amen. And I want it to have a place for you. Amen. And God will help you as much as you let God help you. Amen. But when you tell God, stay in that corner, you sit right there in that chair. If I need you, I'll ask you. But if not, keep your mouth shut. I got my life to live, and there's things I want to do. Now, you just sit there. God will sit there. Praise God, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Right? But God will let you run the show. Amen. And that Christian life is learning to lean on the Lord. Amen. And put the emphasis on His Word. Hope it's a help to you. God bless you, gang. Let's fold up those tables, and we'll the back tables there need to get folded up.